So they wanted the map that's in there. Erica wanted it large. She can't read it. They have like.
I'm told that there's American football action tonight. So I'm trying to get y'all out of here if you're watching. Apparently, someone told you there's good teams playing tonight.
Oh, so
I'm trying to get you out
in the Panthers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that was
fun. As opposed to the international football. Right. So, go sports. All right, let's call this Thursday, November 8th, 2018 meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority in order. Mrs. Thomas Jones, would you please call the board?
Absolutely. Chairman Noe?
Here.
Ms. Umstead?
Here.
Chairman Bulova?
Here.
Chair Crystal?
Here.
Mayor Silberberg?
Here.
Mayor Parrish?
Here.
Mr. Duncan?
Here.
Council Member Snyder?
He's
a replacement. Yeah. All right. Mayor Rochelle?
Here.
Senator Black? Delegate Hugo? Mr. Minshew?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Kolb?
Here.
Mayor Burke? Ms. Cuervo?
Here.
And Mr. Horsley?
Here.
Chairman, we have quorum.
Thank you very much. I think where the confusion was on Mr. Duncan's here for Mr.
Snyder.
Yes. Mr. Meyer is not here.
Yes. Mr. Meyer, yeah.
The fact is not here because we don't have problems. Yeah. Great. First item before us is the minutes of the October 11th meeting.
Do we have a motion? Chairman, I'm happy with the approval of the minutes from October
11th.
Second. All right. Any discussion, any questions, any additions? Please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Thank you. Just an abstention, Mr. Duncan. Good presumptive abstention, Ms. O'Dowd. Sure. Thank you very much. We have a big exciting thing tonight. We have the FY18 audit presentation for Mr. Carver. How often do you get a big exciting thing tonight?
Wow. No, we do a lot of county, cities, and towns as well, and it's always packed at some of these town meetings, and then after the Boy Scouts have gotten their badges, they all leave, and I always assume they were there for the audit, and then half of the audience just leaves, and I'm always so disappointed. So, anyway, thank you for that introduction, appreciate that. And there is a good football game on tonight, and I will be cheering for one of those teams, so I hope to get home by halftime or so. Anyway, so you do have our final audit in front of you. I think everyone was provided a draft with some stickies. I appreciate Mike and Peggy doing that for me. It helps me flip through these, and so I will do this by what we're looking at. So we'll start with the blue, And that should take you to page 1 and 2 of our of the financial statements themselves, and that is our opinion on the financial statements. I hope everybody has the same thing. It is an unmodified opinion, which is a clean opinion. It's the one that you're looking for. It means that of all the work we did, things we tested, and all that good work that you're paying us to do, we did not find anything that we think would cause these financials to be material in the statement. So that's the opinion that we're looking for there. If we go to the green tab, and I believe we're highlighting page 16 here, just wanted to show where our funds are. And we have a general fund, of course, our local distribution fund, which is just the in and out. So that fund should always have a zero balance at month end, and certainly at year end. That money gets distributed out immediately. Then our regional revenue fund, which is where we do a lot of our capital projects and those looking things of that nature. And I just wanted to look at the equity section there. So it's the third column over the middle column and down to the fund balances. We have three different restricted amounts shown there. So the first one just says restricted. That is $371,000. We have a restricted working capital reserve amount as well, and then restricted for appropriated project funding. So the 429, there's the next sticky that we'll look at, the red one. That 429 is being shown here, but we've appropriated those funds for projects. We have specific projects that are already dedicated to those funds. So when you look through that balance sheet that of the government funds, we were sitting on $930 million in investments. But out of that 930, only 371 of it is yet to be allocated to project. All the rest of it is spoken for. That was pretty important to point that out. And then,
if I may, the appropriation action that was taken earlier this year between the end of the fiscal year and now appropriated that $300 million.
And then if you want to see the projects that match that $429 million, go to your red tab. And that's on pages 68 and 69. In your document, they've been termed land portraits. So it's a little difficult to read, but in the financial statements, it's landscaped. So those of us that have to pull out the reading glasses, that document's a little easier to read. But you can see all the projects and the total amount that we approved and expenditure to date, and then how much is left to be spent. So that's at the red tab.
I really want to, I'm still in a little bit of Mike's presentation, but I really want to compliment the audit firm. You usually do not see a table such as this in a financial statement, but we thought it was particularly important to make sure all readers of the financial statements know that the authority, while it does have a large balance sheet and what looks like a large amount of cash, that cash is clearly going into transportation projects. It's just a matter of time before those dollars turn into some form of transportation.
The next page doesn't have a sticky. It's page 70 and 71, and I apologize for that. I missed that. But pages 70 and 71, right after the red tab, is our opinion on internal control and compliance. And again, I wanted to point out there that we did not have any findings, so we have an unmodified opinion there as well on internal control and compliance. And that quickly was your financial statement audit and our audit on compliance and internal control. So before I move on to the other documents, does anyone have any questions on that?
And this is actually probably for NVTA staff, but we have, you know, if I agree with what Mike said, that let's go back to the red sticky here, the $371,570,000, that is just restricted, that has now been allocated to projects. But I want to show this audit. This audit was supposed to be this fiscal year. To the extent that there's a, we adopt this, we accept this tonight, and it becomes a distributable document, is there a cover sheet that we put on this or something internally? The reason I'm asking is it valuable to have some sort of notation from the authority, not to be generic, that acknowledges that the $429 million is allocated to projects at the end of the fiscal year and the $371 million, but that now 100% of the funds are restricted?
We can put it as a cover sheet for distribution, yes. Yeah. We obviously can.
I'm not looking to change the, I'm not sure we can't change this document, but I wouldn't, to the point that people think we're awash in cash, We sort of are, but we have no cash flow.
Peggy's pointing out to me that we did make a subsequent event notice that that money was
appropriated.
It's in.
Okay.
It's an MDNA.
It's in the
MDNA.
Okay.
It kind of compares to an annual report where you pull the financials, but then you also have all the other information you pull in. So a document like that that goes out with the financials would certainly be appropriate to discuss those things. Absolutely. Absolutely. Any other questions?
Comments?
If not, we'll look to the yellow tab that you have, and it is our management letter comment. Most of that management letter is discussing upcoming GADSB announcements, but the first one it deals with the investments. Obviously, as we were just talking about, you have a fairly large number of investments, and so we make that a significant part of our audit procedures and things that we do. We took a very deep dive into those investments this year, and after some inquiry and things of that nature, you know, we make our purchases, our investment advisors help us figure out what we're going to do, and our staff here, and we stick to our purchasing policy and ratings and things of that nature. But I don't think we're doing everything we need to continue monitoring those credit ratings after we make that original purchase. And so we wanted to make sure that management or somebody within the investment group continued to monitor those ratings to make sure if there were adverse things that happened after the purchase of them, that we then made the appropriate steps to move on to the correct grouping. So that's what that first management letter comment really has to do with, is just to continue monitoring our investments, making sure that we stick within our investment guidelines and policies. And if we do have any adverse things that happen to those investments, we take the appropriate steps. So that was the yellow. Any questions on that comment? I think we've addressed it. It looked like tonight you're going to make an approval here to get some software and some items to take care of that. So that's great to see that that's already been addressed for tonight. And then the last document with the pink sticky is our report. It's our audit communication letter that we have to do each year. We have the option to just sit here and discuss it, or we can put it in writing. We've chosen to put these things in writing. I think it makes it easier to make sure everybody understands what has been communicated. And this document gives us a chance to discuss the auditing policies and guidelines that we have to follow, the Yellow Book guidelines, what the Auditor of Public Accounts tells us we have to do, and things of that nature. Also gives us a chance on page 2 to describe if there were any audit adjustments that we had to the trial balance, which there weren't any, if there were any past adjustments, so maybe some things we found that we thought should be adjusted but weren't big enough that we worried about it this year. Those things happen all the time. Any disagreements we had with management, which we did not have any, things of that nature would have been described here. Of course, as you're all well aware, looking at page 3, there's always some assumptions and things of that nature and estimates and financial statements, and NBTA is no different. So we have our pension liability that we book, as well as the OPEB liabilities that we're booking, and all of your localities are suffering through that right now, trying to get all those 80 pages of disclosure in your CAFRs for the first time. So all of those are estimates, and of course we have those here at NBTA as well. And then following that are just copies of our arrangement letter as well as the representation letter. So not a whole lot in that document. As I've presented to some of you all before in other presentations, it's what's not written in this document that matters. And if there were things in here that we had to spell out, those are the things you should focus on. So it's not how short this is, but what's not, I don't have to write it here, is the good stuff. With that, that's all I really had prepared this evening. Happy to answer any other questions or discuss any comments.
Hi. What was it that made you initially think we had foreign investments?
The documents that we were using from our investment advisor said they were foreign investments.
Which has
since been corrected.
Do you know
why BB&T made that mistake?
I do not.
Have you ever run into that kind of mistake with other investment advisors, banks?
I can't say that I have. but there's only a few entities that in the state that I audit that have this large amount of investments to have that kind of funds to be able to really spread it out and try to make sure we have a diversified portfolio, which I know is part of their process and why we ended up where we did. The ratings were fine on those investments. It was how they had been identified to us that gave us pause as to whether or not it was within guidelines or policy.
Mayor, to answer your question, I have managed investment portfolios at Prince William and at Arlington County and have seen this error before, but previously it has been treated like a clerical error and addressed in some cases. So we are putting in some procedures or proposing some procedures to BB&T to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Anybody else? If nothing else, this is item 8 on the agenda, right?
Yes.
So let's jump to item 8 then, and I will go to Mr. Fischel.
In addition to tonight's presentation, Mr. Garber presented these reports to the Finance Committee in October, informing us, as he did this evening, that the authority received a clean audit opinion. And Mr. Chairman, the Finance Committee recommends acceptance. And if there are any questions regarding the committee's recommendation, Mr. Lawview would be more than happy to address those questions.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any opposed?
Thank you all. Go Steelers.
Thank you. Neither international.
Did I have bonding the mixtures on?
I would like the audience to show that the auditor was allowed to leave in time to leave out. So I know, I mean, like, invite me to a Super Bowl party and I'll come for fun. I don't even go to the Super Bowl party. I used to host an outdoor party, couldn't be anything but the Super Bowl party. And people come over with a food and drink and listen to music and we talk about stuff. And the first person who looked up what was going on in the game had a good place. All right, so we're going to go back to items 5, 6, and 7, which are the consent agenda. We have 3 standard project agreements tonight. Can we have a motion on consent?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Parrish, second from Ms. Bulova. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very much. Item 9 is the approval of project monitoring and management system contract. Almost as a
Thank you, Chairman. This is the software application that will automate the project application process for the upcoming 2-year update to the 6-year plan. To briefly go through this project received a $60,000 appropriation in 2019, this fiscal year, and has a proposed commitment of $140,000 for fiscal 2020, which is the upcoming fiscal year. We want to be very careful, especially since the auditor just left, that we are clearly splitting this procurement into 2 fiscal years. You can do that as long as you do it transparently. So I think we just covered that. We've been working on the project, the procurement, since October 5th, or even before that. The proposals were due on the 5th. We received 10 proposals. They were shortlisted on technical merit first, then shortlisted on technical and cost. And that brought us down to 5 proposals, which was narrowed down subsequently to the one that is being recommended tonight. The Finance Committee, at their October meeting, met in closed session, and with the 4 items listed in the staff report, they had a review of the top 3 ranked firms in order of their technical score and cost. There was a discussion of the cost, contract items, and ongoing negotiation strategy. And we had a discussion of the timing of these contract awards. The reason why the Finance Committee met in closed session was simply so that we could get to this meeting tonight and ask for an approval. Otherwise, we would have lost another month waiting for the December authority meeting and perhaps trigger the December authority meeting. We are trying to catch up from about a 60-day delay that was caused by the late adoption of the operating budget due to the uncertainty of our funding from the General Assembly session. So that's why we took the rather unique step of a closed session with finance, followed up by the proposal tonight. We did express at the finance committee meeting that we would not come forward tonight unless we had a proposal that was in agreement with their instructions. So I'm pleased to be able to say that we met that obligation. There is a, I hasten to point out, there is a modification to the recommended motion, suggested motion, that I think the chairman will be reading.
Yes. So first, I just want to make sure I get the motion here. Is there any questions for Mr. Longmont? That's for sure. So I will now recognize a motion and the authority to approve the contract award for MBTA RFP 2019-1 Project Monitoring and Management Systems to HDR Engineering, Inc. and authorize the Executive Director to sign the attached notice, comma, and this is the part that's not in your packet, subject to modifications approved by the Council of Councils.
So how did
motion for Zumstad. Second, Ms. Borova. Any other discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Thank you very much. Item 10 is the investment monitoring and management subscriptions and related budget items.
Thank you, Chairman Noe. This item is actually the response to the auditor's suggestion to be able to monitor the ratings on the portfolios and events that occur within the investments that are within the portfolio. The authority is currently has roughly 84 securities that make up the $900 million portfolio size. In calendar 19, we will have $350 million of maturities that will trigger over probably about 120 more security changes. So this is a software application that's really a subscription service that will allow us that if one of our investments gets a downgrade or has some sort of a negative notice, we get an electronic notification of it, which is what the auditor was suggesting. We went through a process of screening three different services, narrowed down to a combination of two, did a presentation to the Finance Committee on all three, and then presented a recommendation to the Finance Committee at their October meeting for the two that are amended. This action approves the use of the services, but it also basically allows us to implement this fiscal year through a budget transfer of approximately $35,000 that will come out of the authority's operating reserve and be replenished during the 2020 budget. That way we don't have to wait 7 months to implement this.
Any questions for
Mr. Wong?
I need a motion to approve.
So moved, Mr.
Chairman. Motion, Ms. Christensen. Ms. Wiesbad, all in favor, please say
aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Item 11 is authorize the Executive Director for the Commonwealth Transportation Board and projects and priorities.
So, Mr. Chairman, the Commonwealth Transportation Board, they're conducting public hearings as they do annually. Their fall public hearings coming, or public meeting, I should say, is coming up. The date that's in your memo has been changed. So instead of being Thursday, November the 29th, it's now Wednesday, November the 28th. And because we received the notice after your October authority meeting, I would like the opportunity to work with the RJAC to develop comments. We will send to the members before the comments are finalized to see if anyone has any issues, and we will submit those comments at the public meeting. I will note that the format does, I guess, is consistent with previous years where other entity heads and agency heads will be allowed to sit on the dais to speak to the regional coordination that we do here in Northern Virginia and answer any questions.
Any questions, Ms. Backe? Motion.
Second.
Motion, Ms. Lozette. Second from Ms. Richmond. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mr. Chairman,
abstention. Abstention is on. Item 12 is the adoption of the 2019 meeting schedule in the packet. I'll just ask Albert to make two quick observations. Our February, well, three observations. Our February meeting is on Valentine's Day. I said two wedding anniversaries. Including the night the transaction 2040 got done. No, 2030, transaction 2030 got done. Yeah, our then chairman, Mr. Snyder, allowed me to leave early, as long as I promised to have dinner in Paul's Church. He did. All right, so that's Valentine's Day. The June 13th meeting is 2 days after the primaries. You know, I don't know if anyone's going to end up with it. None of us know when we're going to have primaries, but today's going to be primaries, which will be objects to that. And the only other thing is, as we discussed in the last meeting, we're not adopting a program, we're not updating transaction next year. We're going to have more meetings that have later schedules, probably over the, at least for the first 6 months of the year, like, probably, heading into the call for projects in the summer. So it is plausible that I will use chairman's discretion, myself or whoever the next chairman is, we use chairman's discretion to cancel some meetings if there's not enough business to justify the meeting. So, boom.
Given that, Mr. Chairman, so moved.
For a second.
Second.
Second from Mr. Umstead. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you very much.
Number 13 is the appointment of the nominating committee. And if you'd like to nominate chair and vice chair for next year, I'll appoint that committee, Chairman Bulba and Mayor Parrish. I did not check with you because I realized as they said it. It's the chairman's authority. I think you're appointing the committee. You don't like the way I appoint committees, but it's under play with the chairman. Sorry. I want to go watch these sports. we have some discussion items. Ms. Backman, is there anything else in here we don't discuss or want to talk?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, actually I do want to note that item 14 is your six-year program report. We did not include hard copies in the packet. It's 131 pages, but we did include the link that's on the website. Here it is. We do have two copies here this evening if someone wants to be so inclined to stay a while and review it. But it's really a compilation of the process, the methodology, and all of the steps we took to get to the adoption of your inaugural six-year program. The appendices include the project description forms, we have the maps, we have the entire process. It's encapsulated into this report, and it also meets several criteria, if you will, and some legislative criteria requiring that we document how we got to project selection. I did send Delegate Lemonian a copy of this report, but this will be a running document as we continue to update your six-year program. So I do want to thank staff who worked very hard on this, particularly Keith Jasper. When we adopted the six-year program, it was really done in 8 months. You know, I know he wished he would have had more time, but to Keith and the rest of the staff credit, we got it done, and it's a great document. The only reason why you didn't have the report the night of the adoption, well, number one, we didn't know what you were going to adopt. And secondly, last month you did take action to appropriate your first year or fiscal year 19 funds, so that's also noted in this document as well.
The Finance Committee's report. Governance personnel, nothing going on there, I don't think.
No, but I do want to.
No updates on the legislative program.
No updates on the legislative program. But I do want to go back to item 15. The 2018 Joint Commission on Transportation Accountability Annual Report. According to the state budget, we are legally required to produce a report to the Joint Commission on Transportation Accountability annually. The report is due by November the 15th of every year. Inside your packet, we have the report, and this year's report, of course, it's all about our six-year program. We do note the 30% revenues as well, and we give some space, if you will, to the CMAQ and RSTP revenues that we actually make programming recommendations on. So this report will be the report that we submit to the Joint Commission on Transportation Accountability.
They just had their meeting in this room.
They had their meeting a few weeks ago in this room.
Mr. Chair, if I may, those slides at the conclusion of the report I find to be very impactful, and you may consider using them again with regard to the Governance and Personnel Committee.
Well, we do have to report on the revenues, and it's part of the revenues and development of the six-year program. I don't know if you remember, but we did go through several iterations because there were several iterations of the bill, so we, you know, didn't know where we would end. Once we did want to show where we were, where we thought we were at the beginning of the year versus the end of the fiscal year, and all of that is included in the document.
Thank you very much. Staff have any other items that are need a report that we give to the packet?
No.
Okay. Is that any other items for you?
I do not, Mr. Chair.
I don't think I have anything. Items or any other business to come before we bring this in there? Mr. Richard.
One question. I thought about asking our accountant to be more successful, but I chose not to be coming back in law school. I never asked a question of an expert, I'd like to know the answer. But a question Simone can help me with. Starting in fiscal year 2019, as we all know, under House Bill 1539, there's a diversion of $20 million going to the Wamana Capital Fund. And my question is that called out as an exception on our next year's formal audit report? Is that something that would give rise to our accountant calling that out as an exception?
It actually is a subsequent event that's included in this audit. Because of its materiality moving forward. So it is actually narrated in this year's audit.
Was it called out as an exception, Jim?
It's noted as a major change in the revenue stream and a major change in the financial strength of the authority.
Thank you, Jim.
Anything else? Thank you, everybody. Very
adjourned. Thank you very much.
You'd be on the edge of your seat, like on a lunch line.